Zach Bye, Philip Lindsay sliding in here. The drive going to take
boys?
You home. What up, fellas?
How we doing?
We are good. We talked a ton about the Masters today. We're fired up for that.
How was Stokely's focus level?
I would give about an 8 out of 10 today.
Yeah, oh. Yeah, a lot better than last year.
Damn.
Yeah, that's pretty good, right?
A lot, I mean, 8 out of 10.
Well, last year you weren't here for the first day, and I did it with Matt Smith, and I let's just say I had a wager gone wrong, and it just ruined my day.
Yeah.
So I had an awful day on the radio, and I lost a lot of money because I said, hey, I want to make one bet on make or miss a cut. And I just want to make just one, but I want it to be a big one, and then I'm going to follow it for 2 days and have fun. The worst idea ever. With before I started working, the guy was 5 over par.
Yes.
And it killed my whole day. And I did
today.
Last year.
I remember that. Even though I wasn't. I mean, people still talk about that.
Yes. Right. Exactly. Yeah. I'm glad. I learned my lesson.
8 out of 10. So 8 out of 10 in our household. Lil Phil would be considered a good little noodle.
Yeah, see, we had a good one today.
That's right.
One of our bigger questions of the day. It was about the Masters.
Yeah.
Scottie Scheffler's wife is pregnant. That's their first kid. Would you guys leave the Masters to go watch the birth of your first child? And when you're the favorite,
we've talked about
to
this.
Win the Masters.
We talked about this.
And he's already
a
won
long
one
time
of
ago
them.
With a
oh,
football
he's
player.
Won one
he's already won one of them.
Okay.
But it's the Masters.
And but it's also like the you don't get paid if you don't play, right?
You're not getting paid unless it's like day three.
Yeah,
I don't know if you withdraw if you get. I don't know. It's not like he's hurting for money,
right?
But just say if you win it, it's like $4 million.
Yeah.
You know, you could throw 100 in a trust fund for the kid, right? Zach, do you remember? Zach, do you remember if your dad watched you be born? Do you even know if he did?
No.
Phil, do you know?
No.
Exactly. My point. Yeah. You don't need to be there, man.
It's about support.
If your dad won a green jacket and won $4 million,
that'd be pretty cool.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that would be a good story for you.
Yeah.
Josh is even suggesting that she stays there, maybe just has a kid on the course.
What?
On the course.
Blue medical tent.
What do you think about that? There.
Go on the trap, nice little soft landing.
The trap, a little sandy, but we got some towels. It's all good.
And then we'd be looking like breaded chicken.
Took our sand out of wet body.
He's got the hose.
A little turkey.
Oh, my God.
So what would you do?
God almighty, I want to say just do the event, just play an event. But if I had already won it,
right,
I'd probably be misrepresenting myself if I said I would just play. No, I'd probably go do it.
You know how much heat you would take if you don't go to that birth?
And it's the first kid?
Yeah.
So you're going to play your second Masters over your first kid?
Well, yeah. And so here's what we came up with here. She's being really selfish.
She's not committed to the game.
Right. She knew what she was getting into. And if she was really committed, she would just take this off of his plate. You know what I'm saying? Just say, hey, I'm taking this off your plate. I don't want you here.
Right.
If you're playing and this happens, you stay.
Right.
And then so now what is he thinking about the whole time? He's checking his phone, so if she just said, don't be here, don't worry about it, I'm not letting you know, then he would be freed up a lot more. And so, we're blaming her.
You know what?
You're sick. So
And nowadays you can FaceTime. You can you can live stream.
Dude, it's so simple.
And if you need to connect with her, you can step away. Away, like me at Colorado Golf Club doing an ESPN radio hit, just step away and just have the conversation and then join the group when you're
done. Almost got me kicked out last year. Bearcat Jim almost got me kicked out this year for wearing sweatpants to Easter.
My
it's
God.
Unbelievable. You the friends I hang
call.
Out with.
Yes. You took a call.
So he invited me to Colorado Golf Club one time.
Yeah.
And I told him to play. And I told him when we started, I said, hey, just a heads up, I agreed to do this ESPN radio hit. And it's going to happen while we're out here. He said, you agreed to do
what?
And it's a really nice place, right?
You're not supposed to be on your phone at all.
Not on the course.
And then I'm projecting my voice about Russell Wilson.
There's different groups. And it's right next to another green. We got people behind us, right, coming up. So we're just standing there. And I'm like, all right, y'all can go through. It's my partner over there yelling. I apologize for him. Hopefully he didn't break your concentration.
He's talking to himself.
Oh, my God.
He's talking to himself. He's got some problems.
God almighty.
That's good.
Dude, Josh, how fun was last night?
That was it was the best game all year by default because of the circumstances, but the energy, the electricity, it's, I've really liked to see over, you know, you call it 3 or 4 years, like the evolution of Denver sport fan.
Yeah.
Because the city knows football. It's, you know, king, right? But how much on board the city has gone with the Avalanche and with the Nuggets and understanding what's right in front of them. It is everyone at Ball Arena for the last year at least are Nuggets fans.
Yeah.
And you can't say that in the history of this team.
No.
In fact, it's almost like a 50-50 split when the big dogs come in town.
Yes, yes.
It's just that feeling last night of everyone knowing what was on the line. And then when the fourth quarter comes and they start to turn and CB's having a personal dunk contest and Peyton Watson's blocking everybody.
That was great.
The energy so in there, man, it's unbelievable to feel that.
You're spot on. And let me tell you a story. When the Nuggets first made it to the playoffs, they had a series with the San Antonio Spurs. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I think it went 7 games.
It did?
Yeah, I think it went 7. Okay. Dude, game number 2. I had a buddy in town. He's a voice of Siena basketball, Robert Lee. Call him the General, Robert Lee.
Ah, nice. That's a good one.
And he was in town to do a game or something. He said, we should go to the Nuggets game, Nuggets playoff game. We didn't have tickets.
Mm.
We went to Brooklyn's, and we got tickets 25 minutes before tip-off and paid $50 to $60.
Wow.
And I'd be lying if I remembered the exact number, but it was in the 50s. And we just waited and waited and waited. We sat in the lower bowl.
What?
We sat at the very top of the lower bowl. I have tickets. I have pictures still on my phone for, I think it was 2018. And imagine that. You can't, you haven't been able to do that in years.
Hmm.
But now it's like, you better get them off a primary market because they're going to sell out. And if you're using the secondary market for that same seat that we probably paid $59 for, is about $359 for a Nuggets playoff game now. And you're right, the crowd used to be half other team. And now, if you're, especially in a big game, if you see other uniforms, it sticks out.
Yeah, it does.
It's just come such a long way.
I mean, they have a season. We were talking about this last night.
So we were. While Zach was down there teasing us, mooning us.
That's right.
We were sitting there in the suite while my man was on the floor.
He's dancing. He's got a tap dance routine down there on the hardwood.
He was over here moonwalking.
But we were talking about the season ticket wait list. The Nuggets have never had one.
Yeah.
Literally never.
Okay.
Until this year.
All right, another story. 2019, me and my buddy Jan bought tickets, season tickets. And what we did is we there's different tiers of season tickets, but we did what at the time was called, it was like the premium package. It was not a lot of games. It was 12 games, but it was against some of the best opponents. So the Lakers were on there, the Clippers were on there, the Warriors were on there, the Rockets at the time had juice and they were on there. And we went to about half of them using the seats. Most other times we couldn't go together. And instead of bringing a friend, we would just try to sell them. There were games where we had to drop the price 4-5 times, just take a bath for regular season games on a Tuesday night.
Wow.
Even if it was the Rockets, they'd come into town, it'd be a Tuesday night, and it averaged about $100 per game. Uh-huh. It was like 12 games for $1,200, something around there. And dude, we'd have to sell these tickets for $40 just to not take a total loss if we weren't going to go. It's just, again, that was in this era. Jokic was playing.
Mm-hmm.
Jamal was playing. This operation has just come such a long way. And the guy who built this thing is Tim Connelly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I was down on the floor last night waiting to connect with him.
Yeah.
Didn't get a chance to. He did not make himself available. He went all the way up to the owner's suite. Yeah.
why is that though? You think he just feels some type of way because it's like, I'm going to be down here on the floor, but it's a lot of memories. It's a lot of memories of people that I built.
He took a chance on. The Minnesota was here like 10 days ago.
Yeah.
He made his media rounds then.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
He did talk to everybody and he kind of said his hellos and stuff.
And I did not go to that game.
Yeah.
So I was just hoping to connect with him. Again, didn't get the chance to, no biggie. But he built that team. And now to see him in the building and overlooking his new team trying to beat the team that he created is just so fascinating.
It's crazy.
It's so fascinating. But we had a great time last night. Shout out awesome. Rocky Mountain Men's Clinic, mm-hmm. man. Good, yes. Always fun hanging out with you, Josh.
Yeah, and, good to see you, boys.
And Mike, and it was just a great night, man. Just a great, great night. It's a great day. It's a beautiful day in Denver. The Nuggets have the number one seed. The title comes through Denver. What was it like being there for the biggest win of the season? That's where we'll start coming up next. Off and rolling on a Thursday. The vibes are high in Denver, Colorado. It's a gorgeous day. You can reach out and touch the weekend from here.
Gorgeous.
And the Denver freaking Nuggets. The Denver freaking Nuggets with a signature win at home against a rival with the one seed hanging in the balance. And holy smokes, I mean, there's so many different layers to this.
So many levels. See, there's levels to this, Zach.
There's
levels to this.
There is.
And we got to experience it in person and also just enjoying the game. It's like, wow, man, like they're good.
They are good. They're better than good, Phil.
Yeah.
I mean, they're great. This is the reigning champs.
They are.
Healthy again.
No disrespect. They are.
They are that good, man. And they have an opportunity to do something that's only been done once in the history of Denver sports. And that's win back-to-back championships.
Man.
And this is where we are. There's two games left in the season. Last night was such a big game. It was such a big game. And they leaned into it, clearly. And I talked to someone within the organization about an hour before tip-off. I said, what do you think tonight? And he goes, I don't know if they're 10 out of 10 all the way up for it, the way that Minnesota, we know they are.
Mm.
He said, I just don't know. He said, we'll see. They did. When it came to winning time, you could see the desperation from Denver, from Jokic, the level of assertion. It was a max effort night, and when the Nuggets play together, max effort at home, they typically win, and that's what happened.
Look, I think this is what happened. See, the Timberwolves have not gotten to where the Denver Nuggets have, and that's winning a championship. All right, so Denver knows how to win. Denver knows how it feels to win. Denver knows how it feels to be in big games. So sometimes people can sit here and be like, well, they're not up for the game. It's because they've been there. They've done that. They don't have to be that little boy in the candy shop that's so excited to get that candy. No, I'm going to get the candy. I'm that old bull now. I'm going to walk there, and when it's time to put things on the line, I'm going to be ready to play, and I'm going to turn it up. And I know that we're going to turn it up as a team, just like those two young men did.
Yeah.
The double trouble, I like to call them.
Yeah.
They turn it up when it mattered the most, and that's because they're excited. You know, they have nothing to lose. You know, they know that their big brothers are going to protect them no matter what, so they're going out there just playing basketball.
I love that. And I want to circle back to them and have a dedicated conversation with just those guys, because it's such a fascinating layer what the Nuggets have done this year. And now when everything's about to be on the line again, they're looking like they're at the peak of their powers, those two. And I want to circle back. But it would be an injustice to start anywhere else but Nikola Jokic.
We got to start with old Joker.
The greatest player in the world right now.
Yeah.
He has the flame. He is holding the torch for the sport. And in a big game, in the best basketball league in the world, to play the best defender in that basketball league and make him look foolish and abuse him with the efficiency that was surgical. 41 points on 16 of 20 shooting. 16 of 20. That's hard to do in a video game
crazy.
That's set on medium difficulty. That's difficult. Yeah. And Jokic just had his way with a guy that gives him as much problems as anyone else in the sport. And that's what he did with his biggest problem. Holy smokes.
What more can you say about it, Zach? I mean, literally, when it was time for him to play, he played ball. And he did a great job. And like you said, 16 for 20? Like, are you kidding me?
That's unheard of.
Like with the best defender in your face.
Yeah.
And you're like, you know what, little man? You're still not better than me. When I really want to turn it on and I'm serious and I want to win a game, I could put it on my back.
Yeah.
Which he did. 41 points.
41. 41 points. That is the 20th time in his career that he has scored 40. Carmelo Anthony, 19 times. Jokic passes Melo in the number of 40-point games, second most now in the history of this franchise. But it's like, dude, when it became winning time, when it became winning time in the second half, Jokic went out and put 24 points on Rudy Gobert in the second half alone. Outscored, and now Gobert's not a scorer, but he outscored him 24-4.
Yeah.
That is it. Like, and here's the thing. You know who has, like, nights of 16 of 20? Dwight Howard. Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah.
When they are so physically dominant, they are throwing the basketball through the hoop, and you better not be underneath it because it's going to crack your head on the way down.
Yeah.
Jokic, zero dunks. 16 of 20. He plays
so
on the ground.
Precise, man. So precise with the shot. Knows when to take the shot, when to dish it. It's beautiful. It's beautiful basketball when it comes to what Jokic brings to the table.
It's a masterclass. He is the lead. He's playing the lead instrument, but he's also the conductor, and he's doing it all at once. He's conducting the rest of the band while playing the lead instrument. This dude is just an animal. We are watching one of the greatest players of all time. Like one of the 10 greatest players who is trending to be one of the 5 greatest players. Let that sink in. This is where we're going, brother. This is where we are headed. These conversations, this is where we're headed.
Man, it's just like when you look at this, you could tell that he's playing in slow motion in his head.
Yes.
So everybody's all fast paced, but to him, everybody's going in slow motion.
Yeah.
That's when you're one of the greatest to ever do it, is when your brain processes things like that.
Yep.
And your shot is just on all the time like that, and your passes are just on like that all the time. That's amazing. That's amazing stuff. I wish I could go through his head just to see how he sees the game.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's fascinating.
It's Peyton Manning level of intelligence.
Oh, yes. Hands down, that's a good one.
And where to the point where he literally can just play at his own pace. You will play at my pace.
Yes.
You are bigger than me. You are more athletic than me. But you will play at the pace that I want to play. That is a rare category of dominance. And the way that he uses angles, like he knows, and we talked about this with Victor Wembanyama, of him like downloading like what it's going to take to get these shots off. But with Rudy, there's so much familiarity. He just, the way that Jokic will do stuff like, he knows that he'll get his shot blocked, so he'll drive into Gobert and then release at the last second to get the shot off, using the rim as a protectant so you can't block it, spinning off him and just like...
But see, Rudy plays with so much emotion, whereas someone like Jokic, he dials the emotion back, and he can be emotional. That's something I still like about Jokic, is when things don't go right or he feels like he's been swayed some different way, like a foul, was it a right call, he's going to let people know that.
Oh, but also, sometimes it can be too much, yeah.
Exactly, and I think that's because he lets it build up. He's the type of guy that doesn't say too much, and then the quiet people are the ones you always got to watch out for,
sure,
in life, right?
Sure.
Because they bottle up everything. Jokic is like that. And then when he decides, you know what, I'm tired of this, sometimes it could be too much.
Yeah.
But Jokic, instead of playing with emotion, he plays with the smarts, the fundamentals, where someone like Rudy, it's all about emotions, it's all about physical, it's all about what I can do to dominate you, and that can also hurt you. And Jokic used it against him.
He used it against him. He is so fun to watch. You just have to watch. Like the people who are still hating, they just don't watch.
They just don't like. They don't like Jokic.
Yeah.
That's it.
They don't. And you don't need some sort of calculator to know Jokic's greatness. You just have to watch. You just have to watch. And to in a big time game, to have the biggest team in the NBA, the best defensive team in the NBA, to Jokic, he wore Rudy Gobert's skin.
Oh, yeah.
He murdered that man relentlessly over and over in the second half. That was unbelievable. What a game. Still so much to get through, but we had to start with the Jokic, with Jokic. And as we shift gears here, the Nuggets tried to pull off something extremely rare this season, and it worked. And another parade may be happening because of it. And we'll tell you what it is next. We are still riding the wave from what happened last night at Ball Arena. Phil and I were both in the building along with Dover was there, Mike Evans was there, just an absolute hoot of a time. And when the content on the floor is that good, it just, they make it easy to get swept up in it, man. And I said going into the break, the Nuggets tried to pull off something extremely rare this season. And it worked. I think.
Uh-oh.
We'll ultimately see. But I think last night's a good indication that it worked. And another parade may be happening because of it. Phil, the Nuggets tried to do two things at once this year. And there was a gamble in doing it. One, defend a championship. All right, but also develop young talent instead of signing veterans that give you a higher floor in defending that championship in exchange for younger guys who could, over the long term, give you a higher ceiling.
Yeah.
And Christian Brown, Peyton Watson, they're front and center, a part of this conversation. Both of those guys were so instrumental in getting that 116-107 win last night. And not just instrumental, but instrumental and exciting.
They were exciting, Zach. Double Trouble. That's their names. When they're on and they're on it. And you know, I keep saying, like, with young players, you feed off the crowd. You feed off the energy. And that's what those two young men did. They fed off the energy. The Brown, when he was doing the dunks, that's because he felt the energy in the air. He wanted to make a point, right? Peyton Watson with the blocks.
That was insane.
That's creating the energy. That's what they are there for. They're not there to take over a game and dominate a game. No, they're there to bring up the energy. They're young. They're exciting. Okay, like I've said before, they don't have nothing to lose because you have big brothers, right? You have the older brothers right there that if something happens, they're there to protect you. So you go out there, you play your hearts out defensively and make some exciting plays happen. That feeds off, that everybody can feed off, that Jokic can feed off, that Jamal can feed off, that Aaron Gordon feeds off of.
Yeah, yeah.
All right? And then when they're back out there, they dominate. They handle business.
Man, it made me feel so good and so confident about, and if you've been listening to us, and if you haven't, I'll reset it here. But in the last few weeks, I've had this take of like, because we've been talking about the Nuggets bench all season. There's been nights where it's just bad, just like really bad. And it's like, oh my goodness, is this good enough to win a title? Like, what does the rotation look like beyond the starting five? And there's been nights where each of these guys have their warts. In fact, there's been months where each guy can't figure it out. There's been like over a month where Peyton Watson just, there was a disconnect. There was over a month, a couple months with Christian Brown to start the season, first half of the season. It's like,
he was just doing too much.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But in the last couple of weeks, we've talked about this. If the team is healthy, I am just not as worried about the bench in the playoffs because of the narrowed minutes and narrowed focus when you're going to be playing with a couple starters that will have the burden offensively, and that will just allow those two guys, specifically Christian Brown and Peyton Watson, to just stick to the reason why you are out there, why you're in the NBA. Why was Peyton Watson drafted in the first round? With the lowest points per game in the history of the NBA draft, average 3 points a game, because he's got an opportunity to be an elite defender. Christian Brown, now he's gotten better offensively. He's starting to make shots here in the last couple months, but he is a plus defender. That's what allowed him to be on the court during the playoffs as a rookie. Extremely uncommon. And then now you can return to that and just keep the main thing the main thing. And when you're just worried about playing defense, giving max effort, running the floor, playing in transition, stuff like that just comes to you. But when you're worried about exploring your game and expanding your offensive package, you can get in trouble. And we've seen it happen with both those guys. But that's what it looks like last night in a big game where there's no time to explore your game. You just keep the main thing, and that's what it looks like.
Well, what you said right there, don't give them no time to think. Do your job, which is defensively. Defensively, do your job. They did a great job. Malone did a great job with the rotations, right? Putting somebody like Peyton Watson and Christian Brown together, but having someone like Michael Porter Jr. there. That's the score, right? Don't worry about just scoring. Now, if you have an open shot, a smart shot, definitely take it. Definitely. And I think that they gotten better with doing right? They probably got chewed out, got spankings for doing stupid stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But that's what young people do. Reggie Jackson coming off the bench. See, that's another thing, Zach.
Yes.
We just talk about Peyton Watson and Christian Brown. Yeah, those are the puppies. But you have a veteran, savvy person like Reggie Jackson coming off your bench. okay, Holiday coming off your bench, that helps. Not just having young players out there with the non-Jokic minutes, but having players out there that have went through the fire, that are veterans, that also can score points so that you don't have to rely on Peyton Watson. You don't have to rely on Christian Brown all the time.
Yes.
They just have to do their job as a puppy is go play defense.
Yep.
Go maul that person.
Yep.
And every once in a while when you have open shots, take them. Be smart with the ball. Don't turn the ball over until Jokic gets back in there. Play good defense.
Dude, really well said. Really well said. And you refer to them as puppies. What do puppies have a lot of?
What, accidents?
yeah, they can. And you think of accidents? Remember Peyton Watson on the breakaway a couple weeks ago in a one-score game trying to windmill? That's a puppy accident. But I'm talking about energy.
Oh, yeah.
Puppies have boundless energy.
You're right.
And when you are only playing 8 to 14 minutes a night in the playoffs, you can play with incredible energy. And they were just so fun to watch, man. And I'm watching Christian Brown. This dude, man. We got to talk about the dunk.
You got to.
This dude has bunnies.
He does.
He's got bunnies.
I didn't understand how much hop he truly does have.
Dude. And, see, there's two different kinds of dunkers, and there's extreme examples on the Nuggets. I think of myself. I could dunk a basketball with one foot, but if I was going to lift off, two-foot jumper.
Mm.
Aaron Gordon, extreme example. If Aaron Gordon is going for a max effort dunk, you will see him plant his left foot, load up with his right foot, and explode vertically. Every one of his dunks were like that. Christian Brown's a one-foot dunker. One-foot dunkers, a lot. There's no load. There's less of a load-up.
Is it quick off the ground?
It's quicker because it comes within the flow of you running at full speed. There's no big load-up process. So when I saw Christian Brown, he's in the open court because they do like a three-quarter press and Jamal pitches it ahead, right? Brown has nothing but space in front of him. And so he should be like these long galloping steps and big bouncy dribbles where he's doing 2 to 3 gallops in between bounces.
Yeah.
Phil, when I saw him, he did a big bounce, and then he put it right back down. It was two quick bounces.
So why did he kind of go to the side, too?
Just hold on, just bear with me. Because when I saw him put the ball back down for a quick bounce, I said, in my mind, in a split second, I said, is he lining up his steps? Because I've seen him play every game he's ever played as a Denver Nugget and even going back to Kansas, and I know he's a one-foot jumper, and I know he likes to dunk with his left hand. And when he put it down for the second time really quick, go back and watch it. We'll do it in the break. When he does, I said, oh, my God, he's got enough space out where he's lining up his steps.
And it was against Rudy, right?
Against the defensive player of the year. And for him to switch hands, that is legendary stuff,
and from the
dude.
Side. It wasn't like, uh-oh, I'm going to load it like side.
Yeah, because if he does it to the front of the rim, he's going towards Rudy and Rudy can block it. But by doing it on the side, he's using the width of his shoulders almost as a blocker between himself and Rudy to dunk it with the left. Dude, 10 out of 10. All-time stuff. Oh, dude, my hair's standing up.
Yeah, see what he was saying? He was talking that talk, too.
Scream.
Let's go!
Dude, that's a primal scream.
You gotta love it. Now, I don't know if it was a lion scream because he's still a puppy.
Dude.
So it was
that's Simba. He's coming.
It was Simba.
Simba's coming.
It was like, right.
Dude, that was amazing. Dude, that I love when guys, especially at the pro level who are making a bunch of money, still channel that primal scream. That, like, I'm thinking of like a young Philip Lindsay, just like on fire.
Oh, the earthquake. Everything, the earth would have shifted if I screamed.
Phil, but I remember you just had your pants on fire. You know what I mean? Like, you had fire in your belly that you can't.
And I was young at that time when I was really like that. Well, I didn't care. I didn't care what people thought. I didn't care about anything but just running the football. And that's kind of what Christian Brown's doing. That's what Peyton Watson's doing. And if they can do like that in these playoffs, okay, and get the excitement, that energy flowing, it just helps the veterans out so much because then they start to realize and remember, like, this is what it feels like.
Mm.
Not just the money. This is what it feels like to play basketball and love the game of basketball. Now we're all playing. Now we're all having fun. You need somebody like that to keep everybody young. That's what I like to call it.
How fun is this, man?
It's fun, man.
This is a blast. This is such a blast, man. Mile High Hoops recorded. It'll be posted here within the next couple minutes. Talking about a lot of the same stuff me and Phil are talking about right now. And we will circle back to this because I'm going to ask a question in 19 minutes that I think is going to make some people in Colorado feel a little bit uncomfortable. Okay?
What's the question?
We're going to get there, Coach. We're going to get there in 18 minutes from now. But in the meantime, the NFL draft is 14 days away. If the Broncos don't go quarterback, what three positions would we be open to them drafting? That's coming up next. Hey, did you guys hear? The Fan Flyaway is back, and it's presented by Sport Clips. All right, this time we're sending one lucky listener and a friend to a road game for the Pro Basketball Championship in June. What if the Denver Pro Basketball team is playing in it? That would be pretty freaking cool. Here's what you get. Two tickets to the game, or to a game. A round-trip airfare for two from Denver to a destination to be determined. Two nights hotel, $500. Dude, this is just insane, okay? It's incredible. It doesn't cost anything to enter. Head to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to register and claim your special offer from Sport Clips, all right? And then finally, I have to let you know, those of you who previously entered a Fan Flyaway contest, good news, all right? There's no headache. You're already part of the club. And we'll be entered into this one as well. Once you sign up, you're entered in for all future flyaway contests. This is another freaking amazing package.
I'm jealous, man.
Me too. Me too.
Now you get to do things like this.
Yeah.
All you have to do is listen to us.
And remember, we just sent a listener to the big game.
We did.
In Vegas. Here,
he came back.
Yes.
Talked with us.
Yes.
Got an autograph from Zach Bye.
That didn't happen, but we took a picture together.
It was great.
All right, NFL draft is 14 days away. If the Broncos don't go quarterback, Phil, what three positions would you be most open to them drafting?
Ooh, I can tell you right off the bat, Zach, if we don't draft a quarterback in the first round, it has to be the tight end position, right? Brock Bowers is sitting right in front of us. We may be able to pick him up. Maybe.
Maybe.
So Brock Bowers would be number one for me. Okay. And this is where it gets tough.
Hold on a second.
Okay.
If it's not Brock Bowers.
Okay, if it's not.
I'm just doing it for the exercise.
No, for sure.
Because Brock might, he may go.
Whew.
Would you still be open to, like, the second best tight end in the class?
No, this is where you go for the best. I guess you go for the best player in the draft that lands you on number 12. Which probably would be, Zach, a pass rusher.
Okay.
It probably would have to be a pass rusher. You know I like the cornerback position.
Yes, sir.
But we have one already.
Yep.
I'm not willing to take another first-round corner when we have one. We don't even know if we're going to pay him yet or not.
Right.
But we do need a pass rush. We do need that pass rusher. We haven't had one here like Von Miller since Von Miller.
Yeah, it's been a long time. It was supposed to be Bradley Chubb.
Yeah. So it would have to. So if you take Brock Bowers out of it, I have to go with pass rusher number one.
I don't hate that at all. So tight end if Brock Bowers is there.
Yep.
Pass rusher. Would there be a third position that comes to mind if the Broncos do not go quarterback with the 12th overall pick?
You have the corner and you have the defensive line still. We were not good in run defense. Not in the run last year.
No.
We need to shore that up. We have to shore that up because if we would have shored it up last year, we probably would have won one or two other games just because we would have stopped the run.
Sure.
Miami just ran all up in us.
Yeah.
Right?
That was ugly.
And we got beat by Minnesota, a team that was not good at running the ball, but they ran well versus us. That was a team we should have beat. And if we were able to stop the run, we probably would have beat them. So
which game was that?
Was it Minnesota?
No, did we beat Minnesota? Yeah. I guess the Broncos beat Minnesota. That's why I was like, wait, did I hear that?
Did we?
Yeah. Because remember, Josh Dobbs was like the biggest story in football, and they played in primetime, if I'm not mistaken. You guys remember?
Okay,
that?
Yeah.
Wait, Broncos Minnesota was like Sunday Night Football.
Yes, and Kareem ended up getting ejected again.
Oh yes. it was like the second play, or it was real early because okay. Dobbs was out there.
You
running.
Know what I'm getting mixed up with? Washington, because Washington ran all up in us. Yes. On top of that, we were beating Washington, I think, by 21 points.
Yes.
And then they came back, and all they did was run the ball. So, yeah, we beat Minnesota, and we still let Minnesota run on us.
Yes, that is actually
also
true.
So let's not even get this. Like, they still ran on us.
Yeah.
So I would go and get a defensive tackle or whatever. We don't have Mike Purcell here anymore. I've been hearing that maybe Mike Brasil comes back to the team later on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
If they can't find anybody. But that's a position we have to shore up on.
Yeah, I certainly agree with the tight end position, especially if it's Brock Bowers. That would be, I mean, we got an article at denversports.com that's like, there's analogies to be made about Brock Bowers that are like combining Gronk and Kelsey. I mean,
we got to hold off on that.
True. I mean, but when you're coming out of the draft and you're looking for comps, it's like,
it's exciting to hear.
Yeah, it is. It's like, and you're not saying like this guy's going to be Gronk, but he blocks, there's a little bit of nasty like Gronk.
Yeah, I like that.
He's got hands like Kelsey or gets open like, you know how it goes. So I like that. Pass rusher for me. I might put pass rusher first.
Don't do it.
I just think that pass rusher after quarterback is the most important position in football. You have an opportunity to wreck games. You're not dependent on a lot of others. And I know they can run plays away from you and stuff, but if you're a great pass rusher, you'll find ways to impact a lot of football games.
See, this is why I'm not so high on the pass rusher this year. It's because you have three young, talented pass rushers that haven't came into their all yet. Nick Bonito, Cooper.
Yeah, and Bonito, Cooper, and Baron Browning.
Yeah. Now, imagine if they could stay healthy the whole entire year.
Imagine.
let's just say that they do.
Yeah.
And they hit their stride, which these are the years where they will hit their stride. They're like 24, 25 years old.
Yeah.
They're going to hit their stride. They want that money now. So they're going to do everything they can. Miraculously, they're going to stay healthy this year. And everything's going to be done well. And they're going to have 8-9 sacks apiece where everybody's going to want to pay them. But I just that's don't why know, I want to like, hold off on that.
Who's done the most out of that group? They've all done a little something. I agree. They've all flashed, and that's
at times, yeah.
Yeah, and you want to see the flash. They've all flashed, but I don't know if any one of them has turned that flash into a sustained light.
Well, if we had to choose out of the three, probably Nick Bonito. Baron Browning can't stay healthy for nothing.
Yeah,
he sneezes, he's back on the sideline.
Yeah, he's
Cooper to me, like, he hits a stride and then sometimes he's inconsistent. But he's still there. Usually he wasn't banged up a lot this year. I just think he's inconsistent. Nick Bonito kind of seemed like consistent when he was healthy as well. So if I had to pick out of the three,
yeah,
Nick Bonito would be mine.
Okay. Who do you think led the Broncos in sacks this past year? Putting you on the spot. There's no wrong answer, no pressure.
I want to say Nick Bonito, but I'm going to go with Cooper.
You're spot on.
Cooper.
Jonathan Cooper had 8.5 sacks. Bonito had 8.
See, they turned it on at the end, Zach, and that's why everybody's kind of been like, okay, like we may have a tandem here.
Yeah.
And remember, they didn't start it off like just being the starters there. They kind of eased themselves into doing it. And so now you're starting to see them like, give them another year. And if it doesn't pan out this year, go get you some pass rushers.
Okay. I don't hate it. I like all three guys for what they are. I don't know if anyone has done enough that would prevent me if I feel like if I'm not going quarterback and the next best available is a pass rusher. I don't think any of those guys have prevented me from making that call. But this is what makes these conversations fun because I think there could be a little bit more in play than we're acknowledging, which is why I wanted to have some of these conversations because some of the roadblocks that could be in front of Denver when it comes to picking the quarterback. We'll circle back to that because I want to ask about another position that we didn't reference at all there, and it could be in play on the offensive side. We'll circle back to that. In the meantime, last night could be the start of something that's only happened one other time in Denver sports history. And also, I'm going to ask a question that might make some folks uncomfortable, but we'll do it anyway, coming up next.